pony, kind of like, meh.
Thank you for that, Chauncey.
Yeah, no problem. So how's your week going, Sean?
Pretty good. I've been reading Linda Godfrey's book.
Oh, really?
The werewolf person who came on our show, mm-hmm. though she's not a werewolf. You know,
she's not a werewolf person.
Right. She's an expert in werewolves. But, I mean, man, that book, if you want to read one book that will make you believe in werewolves for some reason, then that's the book to choose.
Really?
You know, if you have that specific need.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, it's just basically example after example of people who have seen werewolves. I mean, she calls them man-wolves or whatever, and it sounds like there's not a lot of, you know, reason to think that they're dudes literally transforming around the full moon. You know, they don't all happen around the full
moon. Right, which is why she's shying away from the term werewolf.
Right, exactly. But in terms of the descriptions of the creatures, it sounds many of the people who saw them were like, yeah, this is classic werewolf. It looked just like a werewolf. So I don't know. But honestly, I find it very convincing reading through it. So
werewolves are real?
Maybe, yeah. Well, here's my thing. Like, she mentions in the beginning of the book that, like, the fake sightings are, like, 50-1 to the real sightings, right? And she gets bombarded with all this nonsense just on a constant basis. But she's still filled the book with examples that she believes to be genuine, and she's been doing this for 30 years, and she didn't, like, start out invested in this topic or anything.
Right.
So,
can you imagine that pile of fake ones that she has?
Oh, I'm sure the number of pictures she has of people in fursuits is staggering.
Well, I got two new things going on. I have attempted to quit smoking. I'm currently sucking on a nicotine lozenge. Mm. So I'm a little grumpy.
I see.
So don't cross me.
Okay.
And then Andrea tells me that we have to do Facebook Live.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So she's tasked me with technologically figuring out doing Facebook Live.
Well, surely not this time.
No, not this time.
Jeez, we've already started.
Yeah, well, I was thinking as I was, like, running out the door, you know, because, I mean, you get a day job, you got your family. You know, I've reached this point in my life where if I'm all caught up and doing well at work, then my personal life and family life are suffering.
Right.
And if I'm caught up on anything else, then the other two are suffering. And
you just got to do kind of a round robin thing.
So yeah, you just got to, like, kind of let one slack while you catch up on the others and so on and so forth, you know. Yeah. Which, I don't know, maybe that's what people are doing out there. But as I'm running out the door, I'm just, oh, man, Andrea wants us to do Facebook Live. And that would mean that I would have to comb my hair and wear a shirt without holes in the collar.
Why does it mean that?
Well, I don't
people
know.
Want the authentic Radio Wasteland experience, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, aren't I supposed to be like a sex symbol if I'm going to be on video?
You will be, trust me.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I like that. I like that. Yeah. You know what
the
make
confidence.
The, yeah, you know what make the brawny man even hotter? About 100 pounds, you know. That would make the brawny man just a fly.
Well, that's what I like to think. So.
Yeah. So my other news is my smoking. I have run over the top of it because it's like, you know, what do you say other than the fact that it's like breaking up with a girlfriend who lives down the street and wants you to come back over.
Mm.
It really
I have
is.
No context for dealing with that analogy. So.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like breaking up with somebody. I mean,
our listeners will probably understand that.
Yeah, yeah, because you, you know, you're quitting this thing that, like, down the street for a mere $9 a pack.
You're, like, emotionally attached to
them. Right, I could, like, you know, it's like, you know, you got to figure out, like, what things define you as being you, you know. And I was starting to get a pretty good, like Tom Waits raspy voice from smoking, you know. And now I'm kind of like, here, this is where I'm at. It's,
well, honestly,
it's
I'm sure our radio audience is rooting for you to keep smoking, so you can...
Are you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, our radio audience, I'm sure, wants you to keep the same deep, rich, you know, charcoaly tones, but...
Yeah, I imagine our radio audience as being, you know, kind of like in their basement cleaning some sort of gun that could be easily converted to a fully automatic while right. surrounded by drums of vacuum-sealed cereal.
That seems like a fair assessment. Yeah. With the truth is out there posters plastered yeah. all over the walls.
Yeah, this yeah. is what I like to think.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that this is the one connection to the mainstream world.
Yeah, totally. I'm like the voice of
right, exactly. You're the voice of
the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
I should tell them that the world is
right. You could just right. start making up stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it's like
as we all know, after the zombie beetle march on Washington last week, we're right. running into serious problems with our food supply.
Right, right, totally.
I don't know.
Unless you have 20 50-gallon drums of Frosted Flakes, you are going to have a serious problem.
That's called knowing your audience.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, what is it? Orson Welles? H.G. Wells?
Well, those are...
War of the Worlds.
That the War of the Worlds Orson broadcast. Welles. Though it's funny because those are actually both people who are related to science
right.
fiction.
Right. Orson Welles' War of the World broadcast.
No, shoot, it might have been H. I think it was Orson Welles. Go on.
Is it both of them?
I.
Is it Orson Welles performing H.G. Wells?
That would be. We'll get our facts straight later. Let's just all assume right. it's Orson Welles.
But really, you know, people really went crazy when they heard that stuff.
Yeah, they did. So.
For those of you that don't know, Orson Welles performed a radio play about aliens attacking.
Right.
And, you know, basically coming into Washington and attacking Washington.
Right. And it was presented as a news segment, though at the very beginning he was like, this is a work of fiction. But then, you know, people tuned halfway through and they heard, oh my God, the tripod is advancing on the Washington Monument. Run right. for your lives.
And, of course, as soon as they heard tripod, they're all, this must be real.
Yeah, I mean, right. who could make something like that up? Three legs? Come on.
Right, totally. Yeah, that's it's an abomination. Three yeah, legs, you know. If it ain't a dog that can surf, I don't want nothing with three legs. You know, if it's a surfing three-legged dog, we're good.
I'm sure that's what they thought.
All right, before we get too cramped on time, our guest tonight is our first return guest.
That's right.
I like to think...
We're running short.
No.
We're recycling to conserve.
I like to think that all of our guests are like friends of the show.
Oh, that's nice.
But Paul here is our first guest to come back.
Yeah.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to have... Paul Blake Smith, and he's going to talk about his new book, Sexy Alien Races. I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back in feelings for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, then come on.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, If we can't fix it, no one can.
A brand new production of A Cascade Christmas is coming to Redding's historic Cascade Theater. It's Shasta County's theatrical holiday spectacular, returning to the stage gins, full of dancing, singing, snowflakes, and candy canes. It starts the day after Thanksgiving, an all-new show for the whole family, with evening and matinee performances, plus photos with Santa after each 2 p.m. show. Get your tickets now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Free Fire Radio is your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves, where you hear the issues you care about. Hi, it's Bad Bob. Tuesday, we will feature Redding attorney Douglas Wright. He specializes in helping businesses defend themselves against increasing hostility from the state of California. We will also talk about what it will take to get a handle on violent attacks and property crimes carried out by individuals when the state has evidently abdicated any responsibility for public safety. Tuesday, Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm so tired of being alone. I'm so tired of being alone. Won't you let me go just as soon as you can?
All right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Paul Blake Smith. Hey, Paul, are you there with us?
I'm here. I'm happy to be wandering the Radio Wasteland tonight with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming back. You know, I was talking about how you were our first guest to come back on, but there actually is another guest who's been in, but he's actually a friend of mine here in real life. Yeah. So I don't know if it really counts when I can go to his house and say, hey man, we need you in that chair.
Exactly.
So you are our first guest that I have never met in person to be the show.
Well,
a second time.
My loss, I'm sure.
Oh, it is. It is. How have things been going for you? You know, I guess we should probably start off with asking you how your last book went.
The last few books have been doing pretty well. I was reminded just by turning on the TV the other night on the History Channel. They showed the cover of my book once again in a repeat of Ancient Aliens, Mo 41, The Bombshell Before Roswell. And it just struck me, I've never seen anyone else's book cover on that show except mine. So that was kind of exciting.
That is very cool.
That is exciting. Yeah. And then your last book was The Treasure Keys to Christ's Return. And
that is correct.
And how is that going for you?
That went all right. And I'm making quite a U-turn with a different kind of book. I want to try as a creative writer to create a comedy and yet fill it with nonfiction UFO stories. So I put the two together, and it's not only getting some good reviews. I've heard from a movie producer who says he's interested in optioning it, but we'll see how that goes.
Oh, wow. What does optioning it mean? That they just...
one person told me that's where books go to die in the movie world. You get option and then they never hear from it again. Like 1% gets made. But I've got a friend out there who is sympathetic and enjoys the story, so if he has a little pull, maybe someday... If you get a copy of Sexy Alien Races, you could be in on the ground floor before it makes the movie screens, being tremendously optimistic and all.
So that is your new book, Sexy Alien Races. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that you've, it's kind of like you've thrown yourself into being a writer and decided that you kind of want to dabble in a little bit of everything, which is uncommon for a writer.
That is correct. I've been working lately on a book about another subject that interests me that's purely nonfiction, and that's the JFK assassination. spurred by the release of some new documents. And then I've got another UFO book up my sleeve about something President Eisenhower is alleged to have experienced. So I'll be branching out in different territories next year, maybe, when they come out.
Interesting.
So how'd you switch your mindset in order to... So your new book is basically a romantic comedy. How'd you switch your mindset to a romantic comedy with mixed in nonfiction alien sightings?
Right. I wanted to try to reach a different audience or a wider audience, maybe young people who are used to slightly racy, naughty things. I don't put in any profanity or bathroom humor, but I do have a slightly more adult content than my Christian adventure book that I just released, The Treasure Keys to Christ's Return, but there's nothing offensive in here. I got the idea when I was on vacation around the year 2000, and I picked up a USA Today, and in the sports page was an article on people who go to the ball games in baseball parks and start betting on everything, including the costumed races around the eighth inning, where they send out these little mascots to run around the field and break a tape behind home plate to win a race. And I was just incredulous when I read fans were going down to the wagon gate behind the outfield fence and asking the mascots, "Do you feel healthy today? You think you're going to win? Do you run well on a dry track?" It was hilarious and yet kind of pathetic at the same time. And I thought, this is great comedy material. I think I can turn this, I first tried for a few years, into a screenplay. And now I decided you can put more humor in it if you flesh it out in a book form. So it partly deals with a young man who goes to work for a minor league baseball team in Las Vegas, and he has to create alien mascot racers that run around the field. And to get fans' interest, they sort of sex them up a little, make them more buxom and sexy, and that gets the crowds up. So that's why the name of the book is Sexy Alien Races.
So do you have any experience in, like, this baseball minor league situation?
Other than going to a few games here in my hometown of Springfield, Missouri, no, I've not worked for a minor league ball club. So that took imagination on my part to create a story of a young man who goes to work for the publicity department, trying to drum up attendance in burning hot 100-degree-plus Las Vegas to get fans to come out to the ballpark. And to make these alien costumes, his boss is obsessed with aliens, so she forces him to learn all about extraterrestrials, and that's where we get into real nonfiction stories in the Nevada area over and over. I place them within the book that you can read the facts on some UFO sightings and even an alien crash that happened in 1962 outside of Las Vegas that I'm sure a lot of people have never heard of. It's an amazing story.
Well, in the next section, I'm hoping to get into some of those stories, but maybe you can give us a rundown of the plot a little bit beyond that, you know, the romantic aspect of the plot. Is
right.
There,
yeah. The young man is from Los Angeles and moves to Las Vegas, and he and his roommate are looking for work, and he answers an ad at the ballpark, and he finds out that his potential boss in the public relations department is a gorgeous young lady who is single and quite eligible. The only problem is she seems awfully obsessed with extraterrestrials, and our skeptical, cynical leading man really doesn't want to hear about this stuff at first, and I find that that is the attitude of many people in real life, and then they start to learn more and more, and they get more intrigued and more open-minded about it. And also, along the way, the young man decides he's going to help out the owner of the team, his lady boss's father, who's a rather overweight, booze-guzzling womanizer, and try to get his life back on track. And the humorous things that happen along the way is they try to increase attendance and get the alien mascots up and running literally across the field. And, you know, in Vegas, there are so many people obsessed with gambling, wagering, that it starts to become a problem with cutthroat gamblers showing up and wanting to fix the races of these little mascots. And I'm wondering if in real life this actually happens, too.
I bet you it does happen on some level. Yeah, when you said that people were betting on the racing of the mascots, half of me thought, like, well, that's ridiculous. And then The other half of me thought, well, I bet you that really happens, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's just astounding, really, that you don't have anything better to do than go to the ball game and wait for the eighth inning to bet on these little mascots that run around the field like it was a horse race.
Yeah, because my friends that are into sports are
insane.
They are insane. They are just like, one of them is a doctor. He's like fully a doctor. But I wouldn't put him past him to, you know, paint his face and have a letter on his shirt as he rips his shirt open. And I'd be standing next to him and go, oh, gosh, what just happened here? You know, so the fans of these things are ravenous. And then when you mix in the gambling, you know, I lived in Vegas for a while. And it really was, I would go to the grocery store and there were slot machines in the grocery store. You know, so it literally is everywhere.
Well, our leading man in the story is trying to overcome a bit of a gambling addiction of his own, and yet he finally caves into temptation and does fix the races. I hate to give away too much plot,
right?
But that's where complications ensue. Boy loses girl, and boy fights to get girl back. Somewhat standard storyline, but a lot of laughs. I threw in a lot of humor, as much as I possibly could, like puns and slapstick and pratfalls and some double entendres and just about everything you can think of. And I'm glad it's got some really good reviews. One of them said, this book is a must-read, and that's what every writer lives for, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I didn't get it. Sorry if I'm sounding kind of weird when I talk here, but I'm sucking on a nicotine lozenge because I'm attempting to quit smoking. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get my hands on this one like I did the last one. I read your last book before our interview, but I didn't get a chance to read this one. But, you know, this one seems
probably more up your alley. Than
right up my alley, yeah,
to,
yeah.
To Christ's Return.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, no, the other one was a fun sort of adventure.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm not Christian, but the book was very much adventure, you know, based in sort of biblical stuff. It wasn't
that's true.
A Christian book. I don't mean to categorize your book maybe in a way that I shouldn't be, but
I understand. Yeah. I know that many people are somewhat turned off that subject and the topic that perhaps Christ is coming back, and I was never a big zealot or a huge follower of that theory. And then I started reading Edgar Cayce and psychic Ruth Montgomery, and their messages were the same, almost same exact thing, along with two other modern psychics. They all said the same thing, that Christ really did live 2,000 years ago, and he really is coming back. So I wanted to put all of that into an adventure book, and I'm glad I did. And now I've got different options and factors in a very different book, and it helps me to kind of branch out and grow as an author.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely impressed by your diversity. We're coming up here on the next break. But when we come back, I would like to talk a little bit about some of those real sightings that you have mixed into the book. You're listening to author Paul Blake Smith here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Somewhere up a New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away.
This is Carl and the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. Care Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Care Attendant on Friday morning, November 17th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Cascade Christmas is coming soon. An all-new show for the whole family. Don't miss this holiday spectacular. Free pictures with Santa after all 2 p.m. shows, so bring your camera. Tickets on sale now at cascadetheater.org or call 243-8877.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Arms of mine, they are only.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Paul Blake Smith. We're talking about his new book, Sexy Alien Races. That's a title, man. That is a title that might sell some books.
Yeah, I would pick up that book.
I would.
I would pick up that book even if it was in someone else's possession and yep. they were actively reading it.
I would read that dust jacket at least.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's perilously close to theft. You might not want to steal it. You might want to get a copy at aaugustbooks.com where shipping is free.
Well, that is a good idea, but, you know, I might not be able to wait. Itchy fingers and all that.
Right, right. Sean's a kleptomaniac.
Yeah.
So what are some of the sightings? You know, I'm curious, how did you filter in? Because in Treasure Keys, it was interesting how you filtered in the prophetic stuff. So how did you filter in this real UFO and alien sightings into this book?
Our leading lady takes our leading man on a little trip around the Las Vegas area where in real life they have the extraterrestrial highway because there's been so many UFO sightings, and it goes past the famous Area 51 where supposedly, allegedly, we are holding downed alien craft and back engineering and experimenting with them in the middle of the night. That was a story that came out in the early 1990s. And I have a bit of a parody of that. It's called Airbase V3 in the book instead of Area 51, but we all know the same thing. And for young people that I'm trying to reach in the audience, the Bob Lazar story is one example. That came out in the late 1980s. That was like almost 30 years ago. And some young people may not be familiar with this scientist who came forward and said, I worked on recovered alien craft at Area 51 in the side of a kind of mountain with this hidden camouflage to make sure it was not seen by flyover satellites, and that he got to read some material, including a briefing document on what he was working on, and it seemed to indicate that we had contact of some kind of communication with at least one race of gray extraterrestrials, who he said the book that I was shown came from Zeta Reticuli, and that they are your typical gray, big-headed aliens with black eyes, and they've been coming here for some time observing us, which is exactly what is reported to have crashed and bodies recovered outside of my hometown of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, back in April of 1941, the subject of my first two books for Argus Publishing.
So basically, as he does the research for these costumes, he's basically trying to base these costumes off of real sightings. So are some of the costumes based off of real aliens?
You've hit it exactly, sir. Very good. That's one of the costumes that they have to create from real sightings, and one of them is a gray alien. And another would be from reports of people who've been abducted from, it sounds strange, and I'll just say that up front.
It all sounds strange. We're used to
it. A praying mantis type of alien creature, a long, tall, thin, almost insect-looking creature, sometimes even greenish in skin tone.
Yeah, the
another real-life sighting is one that supposedly has the characteristics of a lion, which sounds very strange. Some woman even created a series of paintings and claimed to get channeled messages typed through her through automatic writing of a lion-type alien. And there are some serious followers of that, so I mix that into the stew. And there's even the basic, what seems to be de rigueur now, is the reptile alien, somewhat like one you see fighting Captain Kirk in an old Star Trek episode.
The Gorn.
There you go. And it's somewhat greenish-gray and looks like a typical reptile upright in human form. And one of the people who first began encountering these stories looked it up with like a science department at a university and said, according to the anthropologists and, that I spoke to, if dinosaurs on our planet had not been wiped out over thousands and thousands of years, this is probably exactly what they would have evolved into, what they would look like today, which I thought was creepy, along with their like vertical shaped pupils. These are supposedly reported by people around the world that they've encountered these either, I guess, physically in real life or maybe in their dreams or in a kind of unconscious state. It becomes part of the five alien races or mascots that run around the field, and people start betting on them in the story.
So, okay, so we're looking at the five. We're looking at the insectoid. We're looking at the grays. We're looking at the lion. We're looking at the
reptile.
The reptilians, and then what was the fifth one?
The fifth one would be the Nords that look like Nordic people. They're somewhat
right.
Blonde
oh.
And blue-eyed. They're slightly different from humans, according to all these tales. If you go online and look some of this stuff up, they look very human-like, but there's sometimes a man and a woman. And then we get into the strange category in creating these costumes. Well, what gender are these aliens? Are they male or female? What sex are they? And do they have a romantic or sex life themselves? How do they reproduce? It gets into all kinds of wacky questions you can ask, which are funny and yet at the same time quite serious. Who are we being visited by? And do they reproduce as male and female? Are they like clones or drones or robots?
Or like snails.
It's something to stimulate your mind while you're having a few laughs reading the book.
Yeah, the the Nordics, I forgot about the Nords. They're the ones that are closely most commonly the Nordics and the Greys most associated with where we're from, because they're the ones associated with the Lemurians in Mount Shasta, where we're right close to Mount Shasta.
Oh, yes. I've read a few stories about that in your area. Do you place any credence upon that?
You know, other than just hearing a couple of stories from actually quite a few, you know, quite a very few amount of people, we don't really get a lot of it here. But the closer you get to Mount Shasta, you start to get a little bit more of it. But, it kind of suffers from the same thing that some of these Bigfoot small towns suffer from, and that is that they have an economy based around them.
Oh, yes. They've got a buck to make, and that's the American capitalist system. I'll point out to our listeners tonight, I've never seen a UFO or an alien or a ghost. I've had a very boring life.
I haven't either, and yet here I am involved in these things because, probably just like you, I've known a lot of people who, when they tell me that they've seen these things, I'm just like, this person who's talking to me is not crazy. So there must be something to this. And then on top of that, it tickles my imagination. It gets me to thinking and to creating, which obviously it does for you as well.
That's right, and we have to take into account serious airline pilots, jet fighter pilots, police officers, security guards, sometimes working in the middle of the night, even firemen, people from respected parts of society coming forward and telling honestly what they've seen, what they've encountered. And it's hard to just say, oh, well, you're all crazy, you're all drunk, you're on drugs, you don't know what you're talking about, you're making it up for money. I'm sure some people are those things, but the more and more these stories pile up, it makes it sound pretty plausible, and scientists agree it's possible that we are simply being visited and monitored by creatures from another world, and they basically don't want to have too much contact with us. They're here to observe, rather like in Star Trek, with the prime directive, look but don't interact.
Yeah, the one
which
I've been...
Captain Kirk naturally violates that rule in every episode, doesn't
he? In several ways.
Yes, dealing with sexy aliens.
Right, yeah. So the one I've been falling back on here lately, I've gone back to the beginning, is that in 2001 and 2010, they kind of allude to the idea that alien races are here... because they're an ancient alien species, and they went out and they tried to find other people like them, but they couldn't because they found out that everybody was destroying themselves. And so they sort of set out to protect life so that it could bloom. And, if this is going on, that's the one I'm liking here lately. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, well, we need all the help we can before we destroy ourselves. So tell them to come on down.
So before we hit our last break, maybe we can, we talked about sexifying up these aliens. How'd we sexy them up?
To stuff the costumes in a rather busty, provocative manner, the more outlandish and over-the-top they look, the more entertaining they are, and it's not what the boss lady had in mind, and it causes a considerable amount of friction, but it just once again leads back, are these he-malians, she-malians, femalians, these graylians? What are these creatures coming here, and how do we know that they do not have a sexuality to them? It's mostly for entertainment purposes, but once again, it does raise some interesting questions.
Well, I got to say that we're coming up on our commercial break. You're listening to Paul Blake Smith here on Radio Wasteland, and if there's any reason to go out and get this book, Sexy Alien Races, it's to see how exactly they made the insectoids sexy. Because, whoa, sexy insectoids.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Redding Concrete is proud to help bring high school football to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Redding Concrete is your local ready-mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality ready-mix product at competitive prices is our primary goal. Redding Concrete, located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 530-244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Redding Concrete, serving you with a quality ready-mix product.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction at Sportsman's Warehouse, reminding you to attend your CCW renewal training at least 4 weeks from the expiration date on your permit. You can download all of your applications from our website, readingccw.com, as well as schedule your initial or renewal CCW training. Call NFI at 530-999-1822. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Paul Blake Smith. And we're talking about his newest book, Sexy Alien Races. So, you know, what do you got in the works coming up here?
Well, as I've been saying to people I know, it's very interesting what has leaked from the JFK assassination files recently. And it kind of fits with some work that I had done years ago and trying to write a book on the Kennedy assassination. And now pieces are starting to fall together kind of excitingly and an angle that I've put together that others have not probably covered or read or heard of before. And so every day I throw myself into that. And I've also got one that looks at hour per hour, the final day in the life of Marilyn Monroe and how exactly she ended up dead.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. So before we move on to the Marilyn Monroe, the news would have us believe that in the papers that were released, there wasn't really anything exciting in there.
That is generally true. There was a document about an FBI man who was at a St. Petersburg restaurant, and he took down word for word what a Christian pastor was telling his audience. That man was a right-wing extremist who had inside information on the Kennedy assassination. I was quite surprised to read that he knew, for example, the first shot that hit the president hit him in the throat and passed through the windshield. That was extremely hushed-up information at the time. The Warren Report wanted you to think three shots came only from behind, so they covered this up, and yet this man was speaking about it in 1964. And I was reading recently, Johnny Roselli, the gangster, was talking towards the very end of his life to his attorney, and he said the same exact thing. The first shot came from the overpass in front of the limousine, passed through the windshield, and hit President Kennedy in the throat, causing him to start gagging, as you see in the Zapruder film. So I thought, this is starting to come together very nicely for what I've been writing, and that's what spurred me to go back into this tale.
And I assume that your interest in this led to the interest in writing about Marilyn Monroe?
Actually, I've had that one in the books for a while, or at least in my computer. It's very meticulous in trying to gather all the information. There's been so many books, and some have come close to pinpointing exactly how she died, and I think I have a somewhat original but logical theory of how she passed away. I won't give it, so I won't spoil the book, but needless to say, it was not a silly accident, and it was not a suicide.
And you have another something in the works, you were saying, a UFO book.
Yes, something about these rumors going around that President Eisenhower disappeared from first a golf vacation in Palm Springs and then a hunting trip a year later in Georgia. And there are allegations, very serious ones, actually, that he went to an airfield in guarded privacy and met some friendly extraterrestrial visitors. It's quite a tale. I don't think there's a single book about it, and I'd like to be the first one to get that story out.
Well, how can people get their hands on your books?
You can go to aargusbooks.com and order them, where shipping is free, and it should be available in e-book and Kindle forms and various electronic media. And also you can order it, I believe, off of Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
And so I've been a little curious about Argus, your publishing company. Can you tell us a little about them? Because
they are a mid-level publishing. They're not huge, but they're not a tiny little fly-by-night operation either. They've got a stable of over 50 authors. I'm pleased and honored to be among them. They've helped advertise my books, and one even in the New York Times, which is certainly something I could not have done myself. They're based out of North Carolina with an office in New Jersey, and they have a variety. It's not just, as you can tell from my own books, I write a variety of different things. So they have all kinds of different topics, subject matters, fiction and nonfiction, and it's worth checking out if you are perusing that site and you're looking for entertaining stories. Hopefully you'll click on my own there.
Yeah, well, we will definitely share it and get it out there so that people can find it. And I am, my interest is piqued. You know, I want to read this thing now. I enjoyed the last one, and so now I want to try this one.
I hope it won't let you down. It should be a lot of fun. It's intended to be educational and entertaining, and I think you will find it both if you give it a fair shot. And I want to emphasize that Vegas could use a laugh, more than one laugh, now more than ever. My book has nothing to do with guns or shooting or anything like that. Very unfortunate, the timing of that horrible tragedy with the gunman and the victims. Hopefully this is something that will be uplifting to Vegas.
I agree. Can you give us a little information where people can find out more about you specifically, if they're interested?
Well, I've got a Facebook page on Cape Girardeau's 1941 UFO crash, America First. You can also find me on Facebook. I have an author's page at Argus.com, ArgusBooks.com. And I write a little biography for myself within, like, press handouts, and sometimes they're in the back of the book, but there's nothing too exciting about my life to share. It's all about the content of the book, I guess.
Well, we just got a couple few minutes here, and we got all the important information out there, so I'm going to ask the question that, you know, I really didn't ask at the beginning of the show. I'm sure I asked it at the beginning of the last one. You know, how did you segue into this? You know, obviously you wrote your first book a couple of years back.
Right.
You know, how did you segue from real life into being what we all wish we were, and that's an author?
Well, I have all these ideas and threads, and I just work hard to try to put them together and proofread it and edit it on my own and hope that people like it. I got certain little nonfiction stories that I want to share that I think people would find interesting, such as the April 18th, 1962 UFO crash near Mesquite, where it was photographed and put in a Las Vegas newspaper. I have a buddy who decided to investigate this story in 1987, 25 years later. And he got a call. A mysterious voice told him on the phone, "You don't want to investigate this. This is a closed subject. This is how people end up dead in the desert. You don't want to go forward." He named the guy's name and his parents' names, scared the living stuffings out of him, so to speak, and he obviously stopped that. And it gives you an indication the government doesn't want you to know about certain UFO stories and digging up old tales that would expose the fact that we are probably being visited indeed.
All right. Well, we're coming up on the end of the show here. Why don't you give us the website where people can get your book one more time?
www.a-argusbooks.com.
All right. You've been listening to author Paul Blake Smith here on Radio Wasteland. Thank you for checking us out.
Too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. It's just not enough. Oh, oh, baby. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to, no matter how I try. It's like the more you give, the more I want. And baby, that's no lie. Oh, no, babe. Tell me, what can I say? What am I gonna do? How should I feel when everything is you? What kind of love is this that you're giving me? Is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? Girl, all I know is every time you're here, I feel the change. Something moves. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with darling. I can't get enough of your love, baby. Girl, I don't know why. I can't get enough of your love, baby. Oh, no, baby. Girl, if I could only make you see and make you understand. Girl, your love for me is all I need, and more than I can stand. Oh, well, babe, how can I explain all the things I feel? You've given me so much, girl, you're so unreal. Still, I keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Cause you're blowing my mind. I get the same old feeling every time you're here. I feel a change. Something moves. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with darling. I can't get enough of your love, babe. Oh, no, babe. Really didn't take all of my life to find you. But you can believe it's gonna take the rest of my life to keep you.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The museum in Washington held a mock Supreme Court hearing in the case of a Christian baker who refused to create a wedding cake for a same-sex couple.
3 weeks before the case of Colorado cake artist Jack Phillips goes before the nation's highest court, attorneys from Alliance Defending Freedom and the ACLU made real-life arguments in a mock debate.
For Jack and for many others, marriage is sacred, and the wedding is an inherently religious ceremony.
Discriminating against customers when selling an artistic product has nothing to do with the freedom of speech.
On December 5th,